In this episode, we look at the double standard that the RSPCA is applying to duck hunting by promising to stop advocating against the sport in 2016 and then doing the exact opposite in 2024. Plus, we'll give a quick update on what's happening with the rewrite of gun laws in Western Australia.
He may not be the prettiest person on the block, but when he tells you something, you can take it to the bank.
Welcome to the Go News of Australia podcast. It's the podcast for Australian shooters who just want the political interference taken out of shooting.
And welcome to another episode of Gun News Australia. And today we're going to be covering the RSPCA, especially with duck hunting happening in South Australia and opening in Victoria in April. Now, it all started, our interest started with an article that appeared in a South Australian newspaper quoting the RSPCA South Australia about its objections over duck hunting. And it goes on about how ducks, in their words, suffer prolonged deaths and the like. It talks also about how shooters appear to be consuming alcohol or shooting and a failure to supervise children during shooting activities. So they're clearly trying to paint a picture in the minds of people about what actually happens out in the wetlands. And what is also interesting is that the same article, which appears on the website, actually state the RSPCA is not opposed to the killing of animals for food, which seems to run counter to pretty much everything else they say. So anyway, we decided just to do a bit of digging around. And what we found was actually quite interesting because, just to be clear, the RSPCA in Victoria has a much more militant position. If you go to their website, it's pretty easy to find out what it is. And also they made a submission to the recent inquiry that occurred in Victoria, and it's where a parliamentary committee was established to review Victoria's recreational native bird hunting arrangements. And you might recall we talked about that a couple of episodes ago where there was something like, I think, 10,000 odd submissions, something like that. It was quite a significant matter. Now, in their submission to the review, the RSPCA actually doubled down on its position by saying that the RSPCA is opposed to the hunting of any animal for sport, which, as I said, runs counter to what the RSPCA South Australia just said. Their submission also made it very clear as to, in their words, why duck hunting should cease permanently. So during the committee's hearings, RSPCA Chief Executive Officer Liz Walker told the committee the following. She said, "Based on the data we have presented in our submission to the committee, we believe there's no way to sufficiently mitigate the negative welfare impact of hunting native birds, and therefore we recommend on this basis that native bird hunting in Victoria be banned." So it could not be any clearer than that. Stay with us through 2024 as we delve into the issues that matter to shooters, take the legal actions we need to see, and provide the voting advice that will help shooters get better representation. And don't forget to jump onto our email list. You can find out how in the show notes of this episode. If you just wind the clock back a little bit, in fact, wind it back to 2016, the RSPCA was the subject of a review conducted by former Police Commissioner in Victoria, Neil Comrie. During the report, he noted a few things, including the advocacy work of the RSPCA and the fact that it's part funded by the taxpayer because their inspectors have some statutory functions which they are funded for. Now, because the RSPCA is on the public payroll, or at least partly on the public payroll, the activities of the RSPCA as a charity are actually also of interest to the Victorian State Parliament. Now, in amongst his findings, Comrie referred back to the RSPCA's annual report, and it also noted, in his words, that there were a number of emotive and judgmental comments in the report which relate to duck hunting. And the words that he drew from the report said, from the RSPCA, their words, "Sadly, the 12-week duck shooting season went ahead in March. We witnessed this brutality firsthand and the horrific footage of hunters in action." end quote. Now, his report also contained the following statement about the RSPCA and their activities. He said, the review team raised this issue, being the RSPCA's advocacy, with the board, and recommended the RSPCA disengage from public activism against the laws of the state, but continue to advocate for necessary change through more traditional channels. So effectively what he was saying is that it would be improper for the RSPCA to be advocating for against the laws of Victoria, which is against obviously duck hunting. What was interesting is that the RSPCA, now the recommendation that relates to duck hunting out of his report basically says that the RSPCA Victoria should discontinue its public activist campaigning against the laws of the state, in other words, against duck hunting. Now, the RSPCA was obviously in a strange position because this was a report that they commissioned, but the report actually found that they needed to stop doing something. And that's why RSPCA Chief Executive Liz Walker actually told that the RSPCA accepted the recommendations without reservation. They're her words. And in fact, it took a little bit of a while for them to actually do that because the RSPCA kept their campaign against duck hunting on their website for a while until it was taken down after the matter was raised in Parliament by Daniel Young, former Member of Parliament for the Shooters and Fishers. Now, hang on. This is the same Liz Walker that recently went in full bore against duck hunting. So back in 2016, she accepted a recommendation to stop advocating against duck hunting, to get rid of the Comeroo report. But in 2023, she tells a parliamentary committee the exact opposite, that it should be banned. So in other words, her commitment to what without reservation means, it went out the window as soon as the Comeroo saga was over. That's not the only time the RSPCA has been caught out. Back in the early 2000s, one of its board members was a chap called Dr. Robert Begg. Now, Begg actually was also employed by the Victorian State Government to manage the government's flora and fauna programs, which included duck hunting. So in other words, he was in charge of a politically sensitive policy area, while also being a director of the RSPCA, which held firm views against duck hunting. So that was a clear conflict of interest in our view. So as a result of that, this is actually going back to the early 2000s, the Combined Farms Council of Victoria, which I was then involved with, submitted a complaint to the Victorian Ombudsman about the conflict of interest. Now, while the government rejected the claim, Robert Begg resigned from the RSPCA, and the then chair of the Combined Farms Council of Victoria, a guy called Bill Patterson, he told The Age that while the conflict had been resolved, it was, in his words, a victory of sorts. In other words, it wasn't a complete victory because Begg kept his day job and was still able to influence bureaucratic advice that goes to government on duck hunting. So his involvement was anything and remained anything but impartial. Now, those events might seem to be water under the bridge, given they happened around 20-odd years ago, but it shows that the RSPCA, in our opinion, is being far from above board when it comes to dealing with duck hunting. And let's not forget that the RSPCA is on the public payroll and is in a very odd situation of being a charity that actually receives public funding to do some work for the state government. So there's no doubt in our mind that the RSPCA acted against its earlier commitment to remain impartial. And that's why we've written again to the Victorian Ombudsman to see what can be done here. So with duck hunting seasons now underway in Victoria, this issue about the RSPCA is certainly something that I'm sure would be of interest to quite a few to hunters, certainly in the southern states. This episode of Gun News Australia is brought to you by Politics Reloaded. Make sure you follow our podcast or simply join our email list at politicsreloaded.com. Now, I'm also going to just quickly cover a bit of an update on the Western Australian gun law saga. So, as many of you will be aware, the firearm laws in Western Australia being rewritten, and they're going to include a health assessment element. Yeah, so what that will entail will be effectively a form of questionnaire that will go to shooters over a period of time. And that will apply to people applying for new licenses as well as those looking to renew their existing ones. So the questionnaire will have several questions about the current medical treatment or medication that you might be on, your medical history, including whether you've got diabetes, you have any physical injuries, and so forth. So it's quite intrusive. And the only way we can really beat this is through political action. And unfortunately, it's going to take a while, if we can do that, for that to take effect. But what's particularly interesting here is section 4 of the questionnaire, which actually asks, how often do you have a drink containing alcohol? And how often do you have 6 or more drinks containing alcohol on one occasion? Now, what they're going to be doing is offering you a choice of 5. So let's have a look at how often do you drink, have a drink containing alcohol. It ranges from never through to 4 or more a week. So there are 5 choices. And the second question, as it says, how often do you have 6 or more drinks containing alcohol on one occasion? And they range from never through to daily, almost daily. Now, we're certainly not going to advocate not telling the truth, especially when you're under a legal obligation to do so. But it's pretty clear to us that if you answer questions saying, oh, yes, I drink, beer on a daily basis, and I might put half a dozen down, whatever it is, you're going to be ticking boxes that will give you the sort of score that will undoubtedly cause you problems with firearms licenses. So when you get the form, if you get the form, I recommend you read it through before you answer, because if you start answering as you work through it, you might find, as I said, that it might be harder to retain your license in Western Australia. As I said, this is, we're not advocating twisting the truth or telling fibs. We are advocating that you be very careful as to how you answer it and how you want to answer it. The other thing about the Western Australian laws is when you look at the detail, it actually, there's a few more surprises that we hadn't picked up earlier. And they include the concept of active use of firearms. And so basically what the laws will require is that you demonstrate active use. So how that's defined remains to be seen, but it has been put to us that occasional use or infrequent use of firearms could cause you to fall foul of the active use test that the Western Australia Police are applying. And the other issue that we noticed is that the idea of recreational shooting seems to have disappeared from the new laws. And that's a big issue, because the laws seem to require firearms to be used at ranges and also for hunting. So if you want to do some target shooting at other than a approved range, that could also cause problems. So these issues will continue. Unfortunately, there's not a lot can be done about it at this stage, with Labor being so dominant in Western Australia. But political action, it can still result in changes. And I also note the LDP will be holding a roundtable forum on Saturday the 14th of April. So if you are in Perth, then we encourage you to go along to that and participate, because this is going to be your only chance to put pressure on the Western Australian government at this point in time. Plus, of course, we've got the National Gun Conference coming up in August, which will centre on the Western Australian issues ahead of the Western Australian state election in 2025. So I hope you enjoy this episode of Gun News Australia, and we look forward to bringing you some more news shortly. So thanks very much, and we'll see you later. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and that you're on our email list. And don't forget to check the episode notes, because that's where you'll find out how you can support us. Plus, let us know if you want something promoted on the podcast. Maybe you've got a shoot coming up that you want to promote. Just let us know. We'll see you at our next episode of Gun News Australia, brought to you by Politics Reloaded.